I feel quite moved today, but I was like, is it right? I shouldn't stand at the front when I know I'm going to cry, but I think that has to be okay. Thank you. Absolutely. So, bear with. That's a verse from Colossians. That's my talk done. Bear with each other, bear with me. So we are doing a series on a book called Practicing the Way. Be with Jesus, become like him, and do as he did. Very challenging sentence. We've been learning that we are all being formed. We're all being formed all the time, every day. Formed by the world around us, by the experiences we have. And we've been asking the question, what would it look like if we were more intentional about being an apprentice of Jesus? Not like hugely more, even just those little 1%. Anyone read Atomic Habits? That idea of just 1%. If we just think, can we be a little bit more intentional about being an apprentice? I'm going to need a tissue. Someone get me tissue. I don't want to sniff all the way through this. So we have here our lovely trellis. A trellis for growth, where we can weave different, thank you very much, fabulous. That's community right there, isn't it? Let's just start with a nose blow. That's better. So a trellis for growth, where we can weave different practices in a different way for each of us into life. So I can't remember the order we've done them in. I think I was first doing prayer, and then I can't remember the order, we talked about solitude, generosity, scripture, service, mission, and then I'm going to do community today, and next week we're thinking about fasting. So as with all the practices we've looked at, we really want to keep re-communicating that what any of this looks like and how it lands and how it resonates will be different in each of us. All we're doing is shining a light, is like opening a bit of a door. My sense and hope is that this series will have a really positive impact, not just on us individually, but also corporately. You know, that's the idea about how we do church together, as well as how we, sort of seek Jesus individually. Well, in fact, individually is the thing, isn't it? That's what we're talking about today. So the backdrop to all of this, it's more than 6 years since the UK government announced a Minister for Loneliness. We live in a world where we need one. Someone whose work would tackle the sad reality of modern life and noted that countries around the world are increasingly examining loneliness, typically defined as the feeling of lacking or losing companionship, as a public health concern. Do I need to do that more? Sorry. Around 29% of the population report feeling socially lonely, and the effects of social and emotional loneliness on our physical and mental health are extensive. And it's associated with all sorts of problems: sleep problems, stress response, blood pressure, quality of life, frailty, falling, risk of heart attack, stroke, depression, and dementia. That's good news, isn't it? That's the backdrop. I'll just park that there, but I think it's important to note that's the world we live in, a kind of hyper-individualized society, really, isn't it? That's the sort of direction of travel it feels like we're part of, is a world where it's about trying to like manage on your own. So have a little think. What do we understand by community? If you sort of pause and think about your little world or huge world that you're part of, the different communities that you're part of. So perhaps think about geographically. I've got a street WhatsApp, you know, like that's a community. It does actually function as one. We've got lovely neighbours that get us all together. Andy got the paper for someone yesterday. So, you know, that's a very, very tiny locality that I'm part of a community, and then wider. So, you know, think about your geographical communities. Workplace potentially is a community. Your professional activity might connect you to a community of dot, dot, dot. the sporting people amongst us, whether that's playing or following or other things, you know, music, so on, you know, things where you're part of a community because of a shared passion, a creative community, educational setting. School talks about itself as a community, and, you know, functions differingly well as such. Community based on lived experience. Really, really important to acknowledge that we're part of communities based on lived experiences that we maybe have chosen or not chosen. Communities based on huge parts of our identity that connect us to others. Communities of interest, faith communities. And we've got to acknowledge also that community can be virtual as well as in person. There's some very meaningful community that can happen virtually. You know, you guys facilitate very deep and meaningful connection via virtual, as well as the risk of the virtual world kind of taking away from deep community as well. It's a sort of two-sided coin, isn't it? So today is intended on doing a little introduction to community as a practice. So that is the idea of intentional relationships around following the way of Jesus together. So that's the kind of community I'm talking about. So the church is a community, a family, a body based on apprenticeship to Jesus. Our connection to God is described as that of a child and a loving parent. We are described biblically as kind of siblings because we're adopted into the same family, which is a lovely and very descriptive. Anyone that's got siblings knows that's not just like an easy thing, isn't it? But that's a lovely metaphor for our relationship with each other, isn't it? To be siblings with all of what that could mean. Members of a household with room for everyone is another kind of picture. And the ideal of church is that it is something that transcends all difference, that we're all citizens of one kingdom, regardless of race, class, gender, politics, sexuality, language, age, or perhaps not regardless isn't the right word. You know, what's the opposite of regardless? Like acknowledging because of, yeah, that there is this beautiful diversity in the planet, and that what God and Jesus calls us to is full connection with all of that in. So right from the beginning, there was challenges. The very first apprentices of Jesus were different to each other. Take Matthew and Simon. So Matthew was a tax collector, literally part of the system of oppression, getting the money from the people, giving it to the Romans. Simon was a zealot against the Roman Empire. He was part of like an activist movement to bring change and freedom to people who were being oppressed. I was listening to someone's talk about this, and they talked about Simon as being a daggerman, potentially someone that perhaps kept a hidden weapon and would like stealthily, you know, slip into scenarios where the Romans were there and kill a soldier, you know, as like an act of resistance. So can you imagine like Jesus saying, Simon, Matthew, follow me, have a chat, meet, talk about your politics. They were very different. So right from the beginning, Jesus was calling people who were really different together. And so what Jesus is doing right now is calling people who are really different together. People from every corner of the globe. Your kingdom come on earth. Amen. Now, I chose this topic because I know that God has a lot to teach me about it. The one who learns the most. It's the speaker. On the face of it, I'm like, Mrs. Community, I know everybody. But I know that intentional, honest, vulnerable, and deep connection is something God is calling me to lean into more, and I don't find that easy. Happily, I know I'm not the only one in that boat. Please say you're with me on this. Thank you. Tissues at the ready. So let's start by acknowledging a tough truth. Our deepest wounds come from relationships. Our deepest wounds come from relationships. They're experienced within the communities we're part of, including church. It's a tough truth, isn't it? Here's another truth. Our greatest healing comes from relationships. They are experienced within the communities we are part of, hopefully including church. It's a tough truth, isn't it? Two sides of the same coin. So that's why this whole series and this particular topic is going to land really differently for all of us. We've all got different experience of relationships. We've all got different experience of community. We've all got different experience of church. We all have different relational patterns. I got really interested in this yesterday when I was reading about this stuff. I mean, I said 3 weeks ago when I was finishing this talk. I let that slip, didn't I? 3 weeks ago, if I was like Rachel Bright when I was doing this talk, I mean yesterday. Relational patterns. So, you know, some of you will be very knowledgeable about this stuff already, those kind of patterns of behaviour that are become sort of part of our DNA, our muscle memory, of how we show up to each other. We can't really help it. But the lovely thing is about a relationship with God and having a sense of, you know, what's that kind of like a learning mindset, a growth mindset about this sort of stuff is that we can change because we learn about why is it when stuff happens I show up like this, and then we can let God into the gap of that and maybe change. So, you know, we might show up being a bit avoidant or super secure. We might show up being quite fearful and defensive. We might be dreamers and idealists. We might be quite pragmatic. We might be fixers, caregivers, alphas. We might be all sorts of things in the way that we show up to each other. And that's all based on all this stuff we've just acknowledged. So that's important to sort of allow into the room. We're all really different, which therefore makes community really, really hard, you know, because we're so different. Long-term interpersonal relationships are the way that we make genuine progress with this stuff, though, is the lean in, not the lean out. And again, that's a sort of conscious choices we have to make in community, is when it gets hard, and it does, even with people that we are really close with, is that sort of Jesus call to lean in to those relationships and not sort of run, which is very tempting. There's a transformational quality of being loved and known and seen, not just by God, but by each other. So community is messy. We are messy. So another important truth. To succeed with community as a practice, it's going to really help us if we can move from having this kind of idealized version of what our relationships look like and what community looks like to having acceptance of what real community and real relationships look like. So again, 3 weeks ago / yesterday, I was reading about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, born 1907 in an increasingly difficult political climate as a German pastor, theologian, anti-Nazi activist, ended up being hung for being standing up for what he believes in. Felt very strongly about getting rid of idealism. Even though, you know, we've got this Jesus call to this amazing vision of what we started off thinking about what community could and should look like, you know, this perfect harmony of people from all corners of the globe and all types of people, but that actually that can be what gets in the way of real community and real relationships. So Bonhoeffer, he kind of knew what he was talking about because he lived with 25 other vicars for a while, who I imagine were all quite different. Felt, you know, that one of God's greatest gifts is that we get to live alongside other Christians, other people. And whilst it is a gift, it's not easy. And those idealistic expectations of real church, real community, ultimately can lead to such awful disappointment, disillusionment, and we can wrap God up in all of that and be so damaged by it that we can't bear it anymore, and we have to like remove ourselves to protect ourselves from the disappointment of the fact it always goes wrong. And do you know what I mean? Does that make sense? So that's a challenge, isn't it? That sort of truth of, can we lean in a way that just accepts that we will mess up and we get it wrong, and find a way to like let the beauty and the light in? So yeah, that there's a gap between the ideal of community and the messy reality of community, and the really fantastic place of, you know, discipleship happens in the friction of that, in that sort of vision of what we want and who we want to be. So discipleship happens in the space in between. So Jesus lived in community. I think the next little slide has got a little picture nicked from the internet. An inner circle of a few, those who were closest. A wider group of 12, 15, you know, the 12 disciples, people like Mary, Martha, Lazarus that were mentioned as being close to Jesus. Larger groups, such as the 72 and the 120 that were mentioned about the sort of gathered followers that clearly Jesus was talking with, sharing meals with, walking with, discipling. He's their rabbi, you know, he's their person, they're following him. And eventually, you know, they were kind of sent out to share the good news. And the crowds, you know, Jesus was amongst crowds, wasn't he, all the time, big crowds of people. And as he interacted and traveled, those acquaintances and people that kind of like either had heard about him already or saw him and drew themselves to him, but he wouldn't have actually known them well. So who knows about Dunbar's theory? Anyone good with that? Yeah. Sue, so I've got another little slide, also nicked from the internet. Dunbar's theory actually reflects that kind of circles of Jesus life quite well. And it is the idea, this is like a sort of anthropological social sciences study that's been done across culture, you know, across different types of people, and it's found this pattern that there is only so much any one person can do and be to others. And acknowledging and accepting that and living in a kind of healthy way with this kind of thing is actually a key to success, because we'll just beat ourselves up if we feel like we've got to be everything to everyone, and or we have to know everybody a little bit, therefore we don't know anybody properly. So this, I feel like I've got a lot to learn from this. That, you know, as the relationships in this end are the ones that we're really talking about today. You know, I can do lots of stuff about community, about this end, where it's about being community, being there for your community, serving your community, and so on. But we're talking today about that far end, about the intimacy, the relationships where people know us for all of our, you know, who we are, our good and our bad, and we're vulnerable. So the challenge we're considering today is thinking about community as a practice and where we're at with those inner circles, the way we're giving space to God and each other to share life, share what we're struggling with, challenge each other, encourage each other, pray for one another, disciple one another, apprentice together. So community is at the heart of who God is. You know, the sort of concept of the Trinity, the very heart of who God is about community. Community enables us to do so much more than if we try and go it alone. We can have a shared understanding of God. One of the things I absolutely love about this church is about when a few of us say stuff, because I feel like, you know, like knowledge in the round is part of what church enables us to have, because I only sit in the place I sit and can only see things from my point of view, but I get to hear someone else's, and that kind of 360 knowledge of God is so wonderful. We can have shared mission. We can do stuff together. We can be greater than the sum of our parts. We can be stuff together. And the idea of like a shared harmony, the sort of music and the sort of resonance of the soul of people who are tuned into one another and everyone playing their unique part. Community is an honest space where we are brave to let the dark stuff out into the light. So if we can develop one skill, if I could develop one skill, perhaps that thing of seeing other people deeply, making them feel seen, valued, heard, understood. So growth comes from moving beyond our preferences. So we're all quite good at some aspects of this, what we're talking about. We've got different strengths, different muscles that are strong. And it's about like acknowledging where is it that we're hard. So if we sort of cycle back to that stuff about attachment theory and, you know, relationship patterns and stuff. So we've all got them. So perhaps spending a bit of time thinking about like, where do I sit with that? And how can I talk about that with people that I trust and lean in to something else? If I know that I respond in quite a sort of avoidant way, then I could talk to someone about being brave to step in. But if actually all I ever do is step in, and sometimes what's right for me is to sort of step out and let go, then perhaps that's the thing I need to do. Do you see what I mean? It's so different for us all what this looks like. So we really want to continue to explore this idea of community and practice. This is literally just a tiny little opener. It's so fundamental, isn't it? It's so important. We've got so much to learn from this. I've got so much to learn from this. How can we lean in more to such a fundamental and important part of being a follower of Jesus? And as a community, we want to give more opportunity for connection and growth between us in this way. So as we are practicing, doing the Practicing the Way course on Sunday evenings, it might be, you know, off the back of that, we think about how we can co-create some more opportunities for this kind of having our table, our sort of 12 people, not literally 12, don't get me wrong. You know, for some people, it's only a few because big groups is not our thing, but it's that idea of how can we be intentional and enable more of that to happen across the church? Because Sunday morning isn't where real discipleship really happens, is it? It's sort of, it's in the messiness of life that stuff happens. So if people are coming to mind as I'm chatting that you would love to be more intentional with about your faith, then, you know, let that little nudge sit with you. Invite them over, share a meal. And then keep meeting together. Keep at it. I think that's the key to this kind of thing, is it being consistent and long-term and stick at it. You know, it's more than just those sort of little one-off, oh, that was a really good conversation, but we don't stick at it. It's not easy. It's not comfortable. It takes commitment and patience and grace. But as I've said, the call is to lean in, not to lean out, even though we have been disappointed and are disillusioned. Let's lean in. So we started noting this kind of the issue of loneliness. And there will be people here today who experience loneliness. You know, being lonely in a crowd is a very well-documented thing. And this morning, we have been focusing on community as a practice, which is talking about those small numbers of people. But community is both in the roots of who we are and it's in the fruit of who we are. So, you know, if you look at that board over there, that's part of the fruit of us and our relationship with community as a sort of corporate body. And in each of our lives, there is more that isn't on the board about how it is that community is in the fruit of who we are. Bringing people together is, you know, like the strap line of how we operate, you know, building stronger communities. When I'm doing funding applications, trying to explain what Linden Church Trust is all about, that's sort of some of the language I use. If we're rooted into the kind of community that can shape and polish us to be more of who God created us to be, we can all the more take that great love into the many communities we listed at the start of the morning. You know, think about all the places that we exist. then we can do that. Oh, this is hard, isn't it? Right. And those questions of just thinking about what has come up for you this morning. Nothing's come up for me. I'm fine. What are the next steps for you to move into a deeper relational spirituality? What are the obstacles? What might be possible? And what could God do for me and for you if we give this more space in our lives?